Does it sometimes seem as if you're speaking some unknown language? That when you talk, your words sound audible and clear to you, but the reaction you're getting is as if you've either spoken to a deaf person, or maybe your words are foreign and unintelligible? Some time ago, I was at a party and a guy was bemoaning communication breakdowns. He'd been at the movies and ordered a buttered popcorn. And the kid behind the counter said, "Got it. You want butter with that?" It was funny, but also true and a little bit disturbing. Because similar communication failures are playing out not only in a meaningless context like a popcorn order, but on battlefields between artillery batteries and forward observers, between imperiled citizens and 911 call centers, and in operating rooms, between surgeons and their teams. Communication has become so garbled, faulty, and unreliable that in amputations they actually use a Sharpie and write on the skin, "Remove this leg, not the other leg," because so many unfortunates were losing the wrong limb due to shit communication. We've never had more methods and channels of communication, yet messaging is more dicey than ever. Why is this happening? What is the fix? Let's find out.
The Safari Park. You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 Come on, Larry. Larry.
When I lived in Los Angeles, the same guy cut my hair for 12, maybe 15 years. He was very good, not only because of his skill with scissors, but because he listened. I've had a couple of haircuts since I moved east and didn't get what I wanted either time. My instructions seemed clear and simple to me. Cut it in the back, where it seems to grow fast and long, and leave the sides and top alone. Not real complicated. On neither occasion did I get what I asked for. I posted about it on social media, and one guy, he said he'd not seen a barber in 20 years, since he got a do-it-yourself electric hair clipper. Well, that might work on a Marine Corps buzz cut. Can't imagine how else. Another guy emphatically declared the problem was that a woman had cut my hair, not a barber. In fact, the first lousy cut was from a male barber. I've had great cuts and bad ones from either sex. We don't say gender here. But right there was an example of a communication failure, making an assumption that a poor cut had to be the fault of a woman. Assumptions are at the core of many communication failures. Plenty of people think the fix is written communication, and they could not be more wrong. Illiteracy is skyrocketing, and even people who think they are competent writers are anything but. Few people have any grasp of punctuation. Most often it's the misplaced or unnecessary apostrophe. You see it constantly, even in places where they should know better. Websites for Fortune 500 companies, plenty of government missives, and endless small businesses. I've received dozens and dozens of envelopes addressed to the Bleidners, Bleidner, apostrophe, S. I've always wanted to send them back marked, "The Bleidners what?" But that would be a waste. They add an apostrophe with the same consideration and knowledge as when they throw a lever on a voting machine, with zero understanding. They do it because it looks right to their ignorant eyes. Are grammar and punctuation even taught in schools anymore, or is it just assumed spell check will carry the day? Occasionally, somebody writes a book to demystify grammar and punctuation. But it's a good bet the best-selling potential of those kind of books is over. The last successful one was Eats, Shoots, and Leaves. That was 20 years ago. Now, AI writes for you. And shit writing it is. But to the masses, it looks as good and legit as those unnecessary apostrophes. If you put the question of why people aren't listening to you to the internet, well, you'll get a variety of reasons and culprits. It seems most researchers blame the speaker. Inc. magazine gave 17 reasons why people are not listening to you. They range from you're whining to you're negative to you meander. According to Inc., the problem was invariably the speakers. Really. Let's not forget that Inc. magazine also hailed convicted con artist Elizabeth Holmes, Achiever of the Year, and America's new entrepreneurial icon. Tony Robbins, who is indisputably an excellent communicator, he boiled it down to three reasons: lack of passion, lack of assertiveness, and not adding value. Well, gee, the dude is a motivational speaker, so of course his prescription requires his own skill set. Is there a motivational speaker who is not bombastic and assertive? And that added value thing, well, that's been standard corporate jargon for decades. So Tony's way to better communicate is to grab him by the lapels, scream and gesticulate, and if that fails, bribe them to listen. There are many more communication fixes out there, and the majority of them put the onus of failure on the speaker. But they all seem to analyze it in the form of conversation. Well, not every communication is a conversation. Sometimes it's just an instruction set like computer code, which is why in military and aviation radio telephony, it's Alpha Bravo Charlie instead of ABC and 6-8-9-er. It's so easy to mix up those nines and fives. Some communications experts claim that repetition is the only way to be sure the message is understood. That may be true sometimes, but it depends on the person listening or not, and if his IQ is above room temperature. In second grade, the nuns taught by repetition. They'd go around the class and make everyone spell a word. Some kids were very good at it, and some not so good, and then there was Peter Longo. When Peter's turn to spell came up, his word was circus. It was standard spelling bee format. Say the word, spell it, then say it again. He had a weird, gravelly voice. And why not? He was already smoking a pack of Lucky Strikes a day. He said the word.
Circus. C-R-U-C-O-S. Circus.
And the nun said,
wrong! Again, Longo!
Nuns called you by your last name, same as Marine Corps DIs. A lot of them looked like Marine Corps DIs, and this was before there were female Marines. Longo took a breath.
Circus. C-R-O-C-U-S. Circus.
Some kid on the other side of the room, with the skill of a ventriloquist throwing his voice, said,
at least that time he spelled a real word.
Shut your mouth or I'll shut it for you,
said Sister Martin, to no one in particular because she had not turned quick enough to ID the wise guy. Yes, at that time, nuns took male names. Not sure why. They were also ostensibly married to Christ, which, with the first name of Martin, well, that would be a gay marriage, right? Also, Her threat to shut his mouth, well, that was not hollow. Corporal punishment was a part of life in that hellish school. Sister Martin demanded Longo spell circus again. He tugged at his shirt collar. His sweat broke on his forehead.
Circus. C-R. C-S. S-R. Circus.
The same voice from the back of the room said,
Vowels, Longo. You need vowels.
This time, Sister Martin was ready, and her head whipped sideways like an avian.
McWiggin, go to Sister Rose's office now. I'll deal with you there.
Sister Rose was the principal, and she was, in the vernacular, a bitch on wheels. She looked and sounded a lot like Large Marge from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. She was part of the crew I had taken on as a six-year-old a year earlier, when, in a case of mistaken identity, three of her penguin sisters jumped me at the top of the stairs. If you'd like to discover that entire story, it's episode 5, Larry Slugs a Nun. It's in the January 2017 tab at That Larry Show. It's one of the most downloaded episodes ever. Now, being sent to Sister Rose's office meant, at the very least, you'd be leaving with a handprint on your face, maybe swollen knuckles from having a heavy ruler cracked over them. As McWiggin left the room, his face was white with fear. Sister Martin fixed her gaze on Peter Longo.
Again, Longo!
Which word, sister?
Circus!
This insanity went on for at least another 15 minutes. And Longo never did spell it correctly. So where was the communication failure? Everywhere. Longo probably had some learning disability. The nun clearly had a teaching disability. And McGuigan, with sarcasm far beyond his 7 years, might have been a Vegas comic. But later that year he was sketching, had somehow wound up under the wheels of a garbage truck, which crushed part of his rib cage and his pelvis. He never returned to school. If you've not heard of sketching, it was a very popular winter sport in Queens. When it snowed and there were a few inches of accumulation, you'd grab hold of a passing vehicle and hang on, skiing in your shoes. Well, I sensed the innate danger of the practice, and I never tried sketching. Why was it so popular in Queens? Well, because with New York City's notoriously crooked politics, Queens had weak representation, so Queens streets were always the last to see a snowplow, if at all. During one brutal winter, the street in front of my house was covered by 5 inches of ice for all of February and half of March. The plows never came. The press flags from City Hall blamed it on
poor communication.
The real communication disasters happen in the military and medical fields. Combat lore is packed with horrific tales of mayhem and body counts due to poor communication. A study showed that in 5 years, there were 1,744 hospital deaths due to shitty communication, despite everything now being digital. So the problem isn't the mode of communication. It's careless people, distracted people, and stupid people. And now that medicine has an assembly line process, the odds are much, much higher that mistakes will be made. We've got more channels of communication than anyone could have imagined, but still we live in the Tower of Babel. More lies, more bullshit, more propaganda, more distractions, willingly mainlined into our brains through our ubiquitous devices. But I'm not complaining. If not for those devices, we would not be together right now, as some of you have been for an astonishing 7 years. Episode 1 of That Larry Show was posted on December 13, 2016. I did not number that episode because I really wasn't sure if there'd be a number 2. But here we are in episode 443, not including some 40 additional bonus episodes posted at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. That's a lot of content over 7 years. Well over 200 hours. A week and a day if you seamlessly binge listen. Over 1,200,000 words spoken. So of course, next week will be a 7th birthday celebration for That Larry Show. If you'd like to be a part of it, leave me a voicemail at the Take No Shit Dojo hotline. The number is 302-715-2779. Or you can attach an MP3 to an email and send it to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. If you've already forgotten what I just said, no worries. The number and email address are easy to see at thatlarryshow.com, where you'll also find hundreds more episodes and those big, bright PayPal and Patreon buttons if you'd like to support the show or send a 7th birthday gift. Thanks for hanging with me once again. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts. And until that time, take no shit.